Fire Away Friday.
Fire Away Friday.
On Exploring the Word, this is your chance to ask us your Bible question at 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. You can also email your question at word@afr.net or visit facebook.com/exploringtheword.
Exploring the Word.
It's Fire Away Friday on American Family Radio.
I was reading a devotional book this morning, and it said, in the end, there is really only one tragedy in this life, to die not having become a follower of Jesus Christ. That would be a tragedy. We hope that you are a follower of Jesus Christ, and we have this show called Exploring the Word that we hope God is using to evangelize the lost and equip the saved. And we welcome you to the Friday edition of Exploring the Word. Hi, my name is Alex McFarland, and this is Fire Away Friday, where all the hour we're going to take your telephone calls with Bible questions. I'm going to give that number. It's 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. And Devin Patrick is going to queue up the board here. We'd be very honored to hear from you. And I've got a question from a listener that I'm going to start with just a moment. But by way of a little bit of recap, we've been in Romans all this week. Romans 8, we wrapped up yesterday. And that great, great verse, it begins with, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And it goes on and it talks about walking by the Spirit and not by the flesh. And, you know, part of the Christian life is to become more and more conformed to the image of Christ and letting Jesus do the driving in your heart and in your life. And the way we act and the way we react, it ought to be evident to those around us that Jesus is in control of our life. And so we welcome you to the program, dear listeners, and also our frequent compatriot here, Jim Stanley, without whom the AFR network just wouldn't run. If you enjoy the programming every day of the American Family Radio Network, to a large degree, you can thank Jim Stanley. And he's with us now. Jim, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Well, brother, once again, you're overly kind in your words. Trust me, the network would continue to run in my absence because we've got a great group of people here behind the scenes. And it's a pretty well-oiled machine. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying they couldn't do it without me. Well, actually, I guess that's what I did say. Mm-hmm. But I'd prefer they not do it without
Amen.
Me.
Amen.
So, but no, it's great to be with you this afternoon. Now, Alex, we've teased that question a couple of days. Did you give the answer to it, or were you getting ready to give the answer?
Getting ready to,
okay.
Because, you know, I get a question like this a lot of times from college students, and a person, he didn't tell me his age, but he emailed me, and he said, can you give me a reason that I should believe Jesus Christ is different from any other people? And the question really comes down to, was Jesus merely just this well-known figure of the ancient world, or was there something absolutely different and unique about Jesus? And so, Jim, there's a lot of ways we could say, but I want to give three alphabet letters, the letter I, the letter M, and the letter C. I-M-C. Think about this, folks. Identity, message, and credentials. I would submit to the question and say this, Jesus is unique. Jesus is different. He's not just a mere man from the dark mists of antiquity. Jesus is unique in his identity, his message, his credentials. His identity, who is he? His message, what did he say? And his credentials, by what authority did he say what he said, did what he did, and why should we put credence in what Jesus said and did? Identity, not just a good man, but the God-man, God incarnate, absolutely unique among the billions of people that have ever lived. There was only one person alone that was fully God, fully man, not fallen man, but he was human and yet divine, two natures in one person. And then, Jim, a unique message. You know, C.S. Lewis once remarked that all of the messages of all of the religions, as Lewis said, are boringly similar. You know, do good works, and hopefully your good will outweigh your bad. And Jesus' message was unique, that we don't have any good works. All of our righteousness are as filthy rags, but it's not our effort or our work by which we might try to reach to heaven. It's on the merits of His work on the cross. He would pay our sins, and that message is unique. And then, Jim, this is on credentials. This is where I get really excited, because when it comes to Jesus's resume, or Jesus's pedigree, shall we say, untouchable, prophesied coming, miraculous deeds, virgin birth, sinless life, healed the sick, raised the dead, Himself conquered the grave, ascended to heaven, coming again. Jesus's credentials, His resume, if you will, trumps anybody that could ever live. And so when we look at His identity, His message, credentials, Jim, I mean, there's no real conclusion, but He was who He claimed to be, the Son of God, who paid for the sins of the world, but for every individual person that ever lived. And of course, the greatest accolade of all, His own resurrection. Mm-hmm. I mean, that sets Him completely in a class by Himself, doesn't it?
Well, it sure does. And like you said, you've got the prophecies from the Old Testament pointing towards Jesus. You have John the Baptist preaching that He has arrived, the Messiah has arrived. And then you have the Messiah Himself at the age of 33, gave His life for us, that, you know, that we might have life through Him. 3 years later after He started His ministry. And you're absolutely right. I mean, just the evidence of what Christ did, how He lived, who He was, all of those things, and then the death, burial, and resurrection. You know, that's the thing about some of these other folks. You know, Muhammad is still in the grave. Buddha, still in the grave. Hare Krishna, you know, and mm-hmm. the ones they follow, still in the grave. It really is unique in that it's been said that we serve an empty, quote-unquote, religion, if you will, simply because the cradle's empty, the cross is empty, and thanks be to God, the grave is empty.
Amen. Amen. And you know what? Beyond the New Testament, because I can almost hear the objections about, well, the New Testament was biased, or the Gospels were written by followers of Christ, and they were predisposed to believe in Jesus. You know, I would encourage people, among other things, you ought to watch the Case for Christ movie, which is the story of Lee Strobel. Mm-hmm. Think about this. A law degree from Yale, very decorated journalist from the Chicago Tribune, and Strobel has told the story many times at our conferences where they had a banner on the wall of the Chicago Tribune. They were so, you know, insistent on being accurate with facts. And they had this banner on the wall that said, even if your mother says she loves you, get a footnote. You know, don't just take anything right at face value. So Strobel was not wanting to find out Christianity was true. I mean, he spent several years doggedly researching, trying to find a way that it must be false. And he came away believing the Gospels were true, the Gospels were historically accurate. But then beyond that, we've got Jewish, Greek, and Roman sources that really are, you might call, hostile sources, that, you know, they were no friend of the emerging church. Tacitus and Pliny and Lucian, that was a Roman writer in the first century, and Celsus and Suetonius, Thallus, Josephus, indisputable that they are historically accurate. These Jewish, Greek, and Roman sources, even beyond the New Testament, that they reference Jesus, that He was crucified on a cross, He was said to have risen from the dead, the followers of Jesus worshipped and sang hymns to His deity. In other words, that they believed Jesus was God. And this is by the first and second centuries, not hundreds of years later. Lucian, the Roman satirist, or he was like a comedian, you might say, he ridiculed Christians for worshiping that crucified trickster or sophist. And so it's just understood that Jesus was real. He was tried under Pontius Pilate. He was crucified at Passover. He rose from the dead. The early church, you know, worshiped Him, gathered the first day of the week before sunrise to, you know, have church. So much of what we know about Christianity Jim, could be reconstructed even apart from what we read in the Bible. But let me say one more thing, and we're going to move on. This is Fire Away Friday, folks. If you've got Bible questions, call us at 888-589-8840 here at the American Family Radio Network. Jim, I'll tell you something that's huge. I mean, this is amazing. The overnight explosion throughout the ancient world of Sunday worship.
Mm-hmm.
Now, think about this. Pious Jews who for centuries had observed a Saturday Sabbath, in fact, their relationship with God, right standing with God, was at least in part contingent on the faithful observance of the Sabbath, suddenly began to worship on Sunday morning. Why? That was Resurrection Day. I mean, that's a huge paradigm shift, isn't it?
It sure is. And you know, we continue to get those questions about that. But, I mean, you're talking about, when you look at Christ, you're talking about someone whom time itself was built around. You know, the eons, as we talk about them, the centuries, as we talk about them. You notice that, and I like the way that it's been done. It counts down towards the birth of Christ and is now counting up as we look towards his return. And so it's one of those things that defies reckoning, and it's something we won't understand until you accept him into your heart. And then I think you'll begin to understand how some of that goes. Shall we move to the phones?
We shall. You know, we'll read this before Christmas, I'm sure, but do you remember that bit of verse that's on many a Christmas card, One Solitary Life?
Yes, sir.
That is so good, isn't it?
Yes, sir, it sure is.
20 centuries have come and gone, and no one has ever impacted the world as significantly, as thoroughly as that one solitary life. And that's Jesus, folks.
Amen. Well, let's go to the phones now, and we're going to talk to Charlotte calling from, you know what, hold on a second, Charlotte, Charlotte, I'm sorry. I actually want to start with Maddie today, because okay. Maddie called in yesterday, hung on for a good while, and appreciate her calling back today. So, Maddie, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hi, thank you so much for getting my call in today. I appreciate it, and I just really want y'all to know how much your program impacts my life daily. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. It really, really does.
Well, glory to God.
Yes, I agree. Glory to God. How long or how often do you feel like we need to pray for our transgressions? Like for years, months, for the rest of our lives?
Well, Maddie, that's a great question. And Alex, why don't we break that down for the sins we committed before salvation and the sins we commit after salvation? Because before salvation, we were sinners. And that's what sinners do, be it small sins, big sins, you know, in between sins. And then after we're saved, they become transgressions against Christ, and we're coming up on a break. Mm-hmm. So, Maddie, we'll come back to this, just the other side of that. But I think we have to look at it on both sides of that. And, yes. Of course, one of my favorite scriptures is found in 1 John. And we'll come back to that straight ahead on Exploring the Word.
This is Pause to Pray. A moment each day to pray for our country's leaders.
Today we pray for William Perry Penley, Acting Director of the Bureau of Land Management. He's responsible for administering more than 247 million acres of federal land. Psalm 115, verse 15 reminds us of the gifts we receive from God. The heavens are the heavens of the Lord, but the earth He has given to the sons of men. Right now, with this in mind, let's pray together. Almighty God, we ask for guidance for William Perry Penley as he oversees the management of our federal lands. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pause to Pray is a service of the Presidential Prayer Team, a nonprofit, nonpartisan ministry dedicated to encouraging prayer for our nation's leaders. To learn more, Go to pausetopray.org.
There's nothing better than sharing your burdens with a friend who gets what you're going through. Well, Dr. Tony Evans says Jesus is exactly that kind of friend. Turn to Hebrews 4:15 as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
Every category of life that you have been through or are going through or will go through beginning tomorrow, just wait, Jesus Christ experienced that category. He knew what it was to be hungry. He knew what it was to be thirsty. He knew what it was to be betrayed. He knew what it was to be lonely. He knew what it was to be killed. He knew what it was to be single all of his life. And let me tell you, the worst thing he experienced that we experienced, the pain of sin. Not his sin, our sin, but he had to bear it. So he knows what it feels like. See, God the Father doesn't feel it. So he became a man through God the Son so he could know what it feels like. So when you call on God and say, this is wrong, the Father can look at the Son and say, Son, tell me how that feels. Because of the inner workings of the triune God. So he feels it. And he feels it at a level deeper than you feel it. In every category of life, no matter how bad it is or how long it's been there, in all ways, he was tempted, tried, tested as we are. So in all manner, God knows what you're going through because the Son has experienced that category.
Learn more about why the Lord's gracious goodness never gives out. Check out Dr. Evans' popular CD series, The Magnificent Grace of God, available online at tonyevans.org. Then join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
As we go.
Well, good afternoon and welcome back to Exploring the Word. Jim Stanley in with Dr. Alex McFarland, and Maddie hung up. But Maddie, we're going to go ahead and try and finish answering your question now. And I had said we kind of needed to look at it at two parts. She wanted to know how many times you have to ask for forgiveness for our sins. Well, we only have to ask forgiveness once for the sins that we did before Christ. But then as we have transgressions after Christ, Alex, I think that's where 1 John comes into it. It says, my dear children, I'm writing this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate who pleads our case before the Father. He is Jesus Christ, the one who is truly righteous. He himself is the sacrifice that atones for our sins, and not only our sins, but the sins of the world. And of course, we know John the Baptist back in the Gospel of John there proclaimed, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And so, Alex, please correct me if I'm wrong. Tweak it any way you need to there. But there are two sides of that, one before Christ and one after Christ, because after Christ, we become children.
Amen. I completely agree with you, Jim. You know, I love 1 John. In fact, the Lord really used 1 John in my life in a big way to help me have assurance of my salvation. So you're right. You know, confessing our sins is in really kind of two senses, sonship and fellowship. The sinner's prayer, or the time that we confess Christ and are born again, Lord, I'm a sinner, please save me. You know, that positionally, we become in Christ. And so all those past sins, you know, I think it's fine to feel remorse and, you know, there's a biblical word, contrition, to feel bad about mm-hmm. our sins. But at the same time, we need to understand that they really are washed away. Jim, I love John 13:10. Jesus said, if you're clean, you're clean every whit. I love how the King James mm-hmm. renders that. I've always thought it sounded kind of Texan, you know?
Right.
John 13:10, if you're in Jesus, you're clean every whit. But positionally, you're in Christ. But then there's not just sonship, but fellowship.
Amen.
And I think that's where 1 John, like 1 John 1:9, and you're right when it says little children, it's talking to believers. And 1 John 1:9, but if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness or unrighteousness. And so, Jim, and I want to say this delicately because it's appropriate to be under conviction when we've sinned.
Absolutely.
But at the same time, I don't think the Lord wants us to walk around forever feeling this crushing weight of condemnation, because in Jesus, it really is dropped in the depths of the sea. And there's no gospel song, in the depths of the sea of God's forgetfulness. And God doesn't look at us and see sin and guilt. It's been washed away in the blood of Jesus. And in that, we can have freedom and a light heart, because we know that he really, really has forgiven and forgotten.
Amen. He sure has. And, you know, it's only by grace, because we have all sinned. I mean, that's one of the things we have to be willing to acknowledge, is that we have all sinned. And, in fact, a study of 1 John will walk us through some of that very thing. So, Maddie, thanks for calling back in today and getting your question in. That was a great question, and we appreciate it.
Amen. Well,
now, as promised, we're going to talk to Charlotte, calling from Arkansas. Charlotte, thanks for holding on.
Oh, you're welcome, and hello to both of you. Just want to say how much your program means to me. As a matter of fact, I schedule my activities during the day around the 3 to 4 o'clock hour, if at all possible, so I will not miss you a day. My question is concerning prayer. I've heard so much here lately about do this, do that, don't do it this way, don't do it that way. And one of my biggest takeaways from that is, my question to you today is, in your opinion, silent prayer, praying to yourself, in your mind, your soul, your spirit, versus saying prayers aloud, praying aloud. What's y'all's opinion there on those differences, if there are any?
All right, Charlotte, that's a great question. Alex, I want to throw this to you, and then I want to come back and make a comment on the other end of this.
Well, you know, sometimes I pray silently, first of all, because I don't always want the devil to know what I'm thinking.
Amen. Now I don't have to come back on the other side. So
yeah, I mean, you know, and I know I'm going to open up a can of worms here. You know, I really lean on John 6:37, where Jesus says, "The one who comes to me, I will in no wise cast out." I really lean on Matthew 6:8, where it says, "The Lord knows what we need even before we ask." So, I mean, I love prayer. In fact, Jim, I suspect probably millions of Christians are praying all day long. You know, it's almost like if you're awake and conscious and thinking, you know, 100 times a day, you're talking to the Lord. I've been driving the car and, you know, almost got in an accident, and I'm saying, "Lord, thank you for protecting me. Thank you for, you know, keeping me alert," and just all kinds of things. I love to pray out loud. I love to pray with believers. But then there are times, because we are in a spiritual battle, and the prince of the power of the air, Satan cannot read our mind. I want to say that very clearly. I do not think the devil can read our mind. But the devil is probably a master tactician. And there are some things I pray silently, and it's known only between my heart and the Lord, because of the fact that the devil is lurking around the corner. Jim, would you elaborate on that?
Oh, you know, it's one of those things, and I think back to the, we mentioned it earlier this week, the novels by Frank Peretti that
Piercing
are out
the
there.
Darkness.
And yeah, and those were some excellent books. But Alex, I absolutely agree with you. You know, and we praying publicly and out loud is okay. But if there's something that you're battling in your heart and you know it's a weakness, then I would take that, you know, probably to the Lord in silent prayer. And let me give you an example, if I might, of silent prayer. Let's look back to Luke 8:43-48. Mm-hmm. "And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any. She came behind him, touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood was stanched. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me?" And Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue has gone out of me, and the woman is gone out of me." And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. So we have people clamoring around Jesus, fighting to get Jesus' attention. And this one lady silently creeps up and probably in the throng of people was crawling just so she could reach out and touch the hem of his garment. Folks, she prayed silently because she believed of the man who wore the robe. Sometimes we have to believe of the man who wore the robe and make our pleas silently so that then he can take and he can make it public, the victory that came from the prayer.
Amen.
Amen.
And folks, if you want to shout hallelujah, just Google that old gospel song, "To Touch the Hem of His Garment."
Mm-hmm.
It's a great song. But let me tell you, when I pray silently sometimes, and folks, you're listening to Exploring the Word. This is the American Family Radio Network with Jim Stanley and Alex McFarland. The number, 888-589-8840. Jim, often when I'm sharing the gospel, I'm in my heart while people are telling me their objection or their question or whatever. I'm listening. But in my heart, I'm saying, "Lord, give me wisdom. Holy Spirit, help me understand, you know, what the real need is here." And there have been times that, you know, God just said, "Well, ask them this, or maybe talk about this." And people have said, "You know, how did you know? That's exactly what was really on my heart." And so I'm constantly praying for wisdom. And folks, here's a verse that I camp out on, James 1 verse 5. "If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives abundantly and does not withhold." And I'm always, Jim, aren't you always praying for wisdom? I know I'm leaning on the Lord for wisdom all day long, and that's a silent prayer. So folks, verbally, silently, but from your heart to God, be a Christian who's mighty in prayer.
Amen. Good stuff. Hey, Charlotte, thanks so much for your question this afternoon. And we're going to, by the way, folks, I failed to mention this at the beginning of the program. So, Maddie, I want you to know that you were caller number one, and Charlotte is caller number two. And what we're going to do is we're going to write down the names, and then we're going to kind of put those in the virtual hat, if you will, and have a drawing. And basically, it's going to be pretty random, because what I did last time was I texted Alex and asked him to pick a number between 1 and 12, however how many callers that we had had. And mm-hmm. So he just came back and he said, "Well, let's do this and this." And so that's how we did it. But Maddie, I want you to know that your name's in the hat. And Charlotte, if you don't mind, we'll put your name in the hat as well for one of the Life Application Study Bibles in the New Living Translation that we're doing our study out of the book of Romans in. And yep. So I appreciate your call this afternoon. Well, Alex, you mentioned Texas a moment ago. Let's talk to Lenny calling from Texas. Lenny, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Thanks a lot. God bless y'all. So my praise report needs my question. I grew up sick, and only till I got older and started studying, I learned the difference between God's food and man's food. So God's food, herbs, and essential oils healed me. And then I learned about the ministry they lead us to confess, repent, and forgive, and I was instantly healed of different stuff like, lifelong narcolepsy, environmental illness when I repented from fear, you know, instant healing. So my question is, I get frustrated. People say God's in complete control, but God's scripture says he's not mocked. We reap what we sow. And I even have pastors saying, you know, I say, look, God, when I've done this with God, when I follow what he says to do, he heals me. So why aren't we following his instructions? And like, for example, you know, he says, if, you know, to go to the elders, have them pray over us and anoint us with oil. So I go to essential oil classes. I see people getting healed.
Hey, Lenny.
Nutrition classes.
Lenny.
I see people getting healed. Yes, sir.
I appreciate your call this afternoon, and far be it from us to dispute the, and please understand, I'm not disputing taking someone before the elders and getting them anointed with oil. I think sometimes the elders even have to go to the one that might be sick to anoint them with oil. And so I want to be very clear about that. But Alex, it is God's will that we all be healed. And it's not just a matter of our diet or the supplements that we might take. Sometimes it really is a supernatural move, isn't it?
It is. It is. And God bless you. And it sounds like things are going well for you, and you're, you know, enjoying spiritual and physical health. And we rejoice in that. You know, we're all at different stages of our Christian growth. And obviously, step one is to be born again and to know the Lord. You know, it's been said that salvation is the same for everybody, but sanctification is different for everybody. Mm-hmm. I mean, we all get into the family of God through repentance and faith in Jesus. So in a sense, salvation is the same for everybody. But, you know, different people are on different trajectories of their Christian growth. And the caller was asking, you know, wonder why everybody doesn't do this or that. And let me just say this, and on the gospel, we agree. The death, burial, the resurrection of Jesus, the Son of God on Calvary for the sins of the world. Indisputable. We all agree on that. But, you know, within the Christian walk, I mean, there's a whole lot of different ideas about a whole lot of different things. And I'll just say this. Do you remember David said, I can't fight in Saul's armor? Jim, you remember that?
Right.
When David went out to fight Goliath, you know, he took five smooth stones. He said, I can't fight in Saul's armor. We've had callers, and don't misunderstand me. We love the body of Christ, God's wonderful, big, beautiful family. And some people have said, well, you know, why doesn't everybody read this book? And I follow this great teacher. Why doesn't everybody follow that great teacher? God's got different armor for all of us with some of the battles of life. I'm not talking about the Ephesians 6, the full armor of God. But, you know, we all can't fight in Saul's armor. We've all got to have the Christian growth and the path of obedience that God has set for each of us. And, you know, the things that God is doing in your life, brother, God bless you.
Amen.
And I'm glad God's blessing you in the way that he is.
Amen. Lenny, thanks for the call this afternoon. I apologize if I cut you a little short there, but we didn't want to become an advertisement for essential oils, and so that was one of the reasons I backed off. Now, that said, a friend of mine here at work, he was using essential oils a lot, and he, you know, they really helped him. And there was one for sinuses, buddy, that would open you up for a minute, and then you had to go back and put a little more. And so, in fact, I need to get another tube of that from him, because it really did help with the sinuses. And as you can hear, I always seem to have a sinus infection, and it always gets me, and it impacts my voice first thing first. So there we go. I believe I hear the music for a break. And Eloy from Louisiana, you'll be our next caller when we come back from the break. Folks, thank you for listening. I'm Jim. That's Alex. This is Exploring the Word, and we'll be right back here on AFR.
What is the source of America's greatness? My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. Alexis de Tocqueville, a 19th century French political thinker and philosopher, had this exact same question. On the heels of the French Revolution, he came to America in 1831 to investigate America's ascendancy. In doing so, he found that America's greatness did not lie in her economic system, it did not lie in her banking system, nor did it lie in her educational system. He found America's pulpits aflamed with righteousness was the source of America's greatness. He opined that America is great because she is good. But when America ceases to be good, she will cease to be great. Let us pray for a restoration of the flame of righteousness in our pulpits.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III.
public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas.
Hey, I love that you're saying Merry Christmas. But what's Christmas all about?
Oh, man, it's about presents and family and love and...
Well, yeah, but it's really about Jesus. He came for you. Merry Christmas.
Thanks, man.
Wear and share the AFA Christmas button to remind people about Jesus. He came for you. Visit afastore.net to order in packs of 10. Order before December 12th to make sure you get your buttons before Christmas. That's afastore.net.
Washington Watch advances a culture where human life is valued and religious liberty thrives.
Hello, this is Tony Perkins, host of Washington Watch, right here on the American Family Radio Network, inviting you to join us each weekend for the weekend edition of Washington Watch for the latest from our nation's capital on what is happening as it pertains to faith, family, and freedom. You'll hear from policymakers, congressional leaders, and others each day, 4 p.m. Central Time. Be there.
On March 5th, 1770, in Boston, five colonists were killed by British soldiers. On the fourth anniversary of the Boston Massacre, John Hancock gave a stirring oration laying groundwork for the Revolution.
He described the noble struggle for liberty as a righteous cause to the great Lord of the universe, who loveth righteousness and hateth iniquity.
Hancock's speech ended with a close paraphrase from the last chapter of the book of Habakkuk.
Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, and there shall be no herd in the stalls, yet we will rejoice in the Lord. We will joy in the God of our salvation.
Engage with the Bible. Discover its impact on history.
Brought to you by Museum of the Bible in Washington, D.C.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
Oh, your blood bled for me. Oh, your blood in crimson streams. Oh, your death is hell's defeat. Across meant to kill is my victory.
Good afternoon and welcome back to Exploring the Word on AFR. Jim Stanley with Dr. Alex McFarland. And that song there, I always wish there was just about 3 minutes more of it so that we could hear the whole thing. But
exactly.
It's a great point towards one of the things that we do, and that's point people to the cross and to Christ, and the crucifixion was there. Now, folks, I'm going to, as Alex said a moment ago, he was going to open up a can of worms. Well, I'm going to open up one as well. Did you know the cross doesn't mean a thing? Hear me out. The cross can often become an idol. And it's not the cross that did the work. It's the cross that was the tool in the work that Christ did for us. Now, that's not to say we don't respect the cross. And it's not to say that we don't sing the old rugged cross. I'm for all of that. But we just have to be careful sometimes that we don't worship the cross instead of the crucified. And with that, I'll move along, and we'll talk to Eloy calling from Louisiana. Eloy, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Well, Lord Jesus, bless you, brothers. I love your show. I actually am. I live in California, and I drive a truck. I've been driving since 11. And I heard on one of the days I was listening about not losing our salvation. And I know and I understand that it's a good thing to believe that Jesus lives in our hearts, and we must believe, because that's the only way that we can go to heaven. But I was working in my mind about what the 70s came back and said, you know, even the demons come down by your name. And then on the other part, it says it's best for you to be cold because you're not hot. Because if you are lukewarm, then I'm going to spit you. Spit you means he had him. I just want to clarify a little bit on that. I don't want to say where I heard these first, but a long time ago, 2008, I started to hear these statements. You know, these two statements go along with the statement.
Eloy, what we'll do is I'll let Alex take and answer the concerns about the losing and keeping of one's salvation, because again, with the different denominations that we have and all of that, then there are times that we don't want to get into an argument about Christ. We would rather take, and this is one of the times that I've said before, that we want to grab onto those things that unite us and not so much the things that divide us. But Alex, it's interesting because the answer I was thinking of is right where we left off in Romans yesterday.
Yes, 38 and 39.
Yes, sir. So I give you the floor.
Well, sir, thank you for listening, and you be safe out there driving on the highways. We appreciate you doing that. I know, Jim, we have a lot of folks that listen that drive trucks and bring us all the goods that we need and shipping, and thanks for listening, truckers. But, you know, Romans 8, 38 and 39, Paul says, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation is able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." I do believe that eternal life is exactly that, eternal. Now, this is one of those things where different denominations and people sometimes have different opinions. The eternal security of the believer, and I know some people don't believe in this. Some say, well, you could lose your salvation. This is not one of the fundamentals on the level of like the deity of Christ or the blood atonement. So equally good, godly people sometimes disagree on this. But let me just say, Jim, when we come to Christ, we're regenerated. And can a believer stumble and fall into sin? Yes. A believer, a born-again believer, can become backslidden. But I think that's a fellowship issue more than a sonship issue because, you know, the Bible never really does say that a regenerate, saved, born-again person could be unregenerated.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the caller mentioned the Luke 10:17, where the disciples said, even the demons are subject to us. And Jesus said, well, you know, don't rejoice about that. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven, mm-hmm. or literally registered in God's book. So think about this. A child is born into a family. That child can please the parent. That child can displease the parent. Some days the children are, you know, rewarded and praised, and other times the children are chastised and reprimanded. But they're still the children. Why? Because they were born into the family. I honestly believe to be born again, it's eternal life. I mean, it really is. The journey is going to be up and down. There's going to be successes. There's going to be some disobedience. But when you're saved, you're saved. Sonship is settled at the moment of salvation. Fellowship, though, is a daily pursuit.
Amen. All right, folks, you're listening to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio. Let's talk to Jackie calling from Minnesota. Jackie, good afternoon, and welcome to Exploring the Word.
Thank you so much for taking my call. I love your show and look forward to listening as often as I can because I learn just so much. So
thank you. Bless you.
My question is, in Paul's letter to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he talks about spiritual gifts. I specifically want to ask about the reference to speaking in tongues. There are study Bibles out there that say that the gifts of miracles, healing, tongues, and the interpretation of tongues were temporary sign gifts limited to the apostolic age. They're no longer used in modern times. But I do believe that there's miracles and healing, and they do take place in modern times, just not necessarily by man. So my question is, does the tongues refer to a foreign language gift being spoken by the apostles just during the apostolic age and has therefore ceased, as some study Bibles say, or does it refer to what a current-day definition of talking gibberish maybe is that only certain people supposedly can speak in this tongue when filled with the Spirit of God, and
all right,
then only one other person is actually able to interpret it for the rest of the people.
Well, Jackie, you have opened up a proverbial can of worms, and that's okay. Sometimes we have to have the worms to go fishing. And so,
good word.
This is one of those times that I can tell that you asked your question in sincere honesty and not to try and start a debate. So I do want us to dig into this a little bit. Alex, she covered several things. First of all, and Alex may differ in this, but I personally believe that the giftings of God continue until that day, and that day being when Christ returns for us. Now, you talked about a couple of different things. I know that the gift of tongues was when in the book of Acts, people heard them, the apostles preaching in their own language. So that's one type of tongues. Then we talk about a heavenly, you know, prayer language, as some of our friends in Christ believe. And, you know, that's, you know, that may be, I don't know. It's one of those things that, as far as a prayer language, it is one of those things that's possible. And so I'm not going to tell the Bible it's wrong, but it is one of those things. Now, is it something that you have to have, you know, as some denominations believe, as far as the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life? I do disagree with that, because I believe that the Spirit of God entered with the Son of God, and that, as Alex mentioned a moment ago, came through with sonship. So when I became a son of God, the things that God had for me became part of my life. Now, knowing how to walk with the Holy Spirit is an ongoing thing that we call sanctification. And so, Jackie, those are great, great questions. And Alex, I'm going to let you go back and correct everything I messed up.
Well, no, I completely agree with Jim. And, you know, this is one of those areas that different Christians can disagree on. Let me talk first the question of regarding the gifts of the Spirit. There is a view that certain gifts stopped with the completion of the Bible and the conclusion of the original apostolic age. And then another view that they didn't. So there are cessationalists and continualists. So a cessationalist says, well, the certain workings of the Holy Spirit ceased. And I'm not that. And I'm not, again, I'm not trying to start a can of worms here either. But I do not believe that certain things of the Holy Spirit have been limited or have, fizzled out or stopped. I think the Holy Spirit of God today in 2019 can do and is doing anything the Holy Spirit has ever done. We Bert and I sometimes kind of jokingly say that we're living in Acts chapter 29. In the New Testament book of Acts, there's 28 chapters, but we're in this thing called the church age. And I have seen things, and we've only got a few minutes left in the show, and we'll unpack this more later. But I have seen things on the mission field where it just went well beyond the four walls of most American theological schools. And the bottom line is I've seen speaking in tongues. I've seen interpretation. I've seen people that did not know a certain language share the gospel in a language they didn't know. And I think God will do extenuating things to get the gospel to people.
Amen.
Now, you know, we were just in Romans 8, and in Romans 8:26, it talks about groanings which cannot be uttered.
Mm-hmm.
And literally the wording there is groanings inexpressible. As far as a prayer language that is, you know, known only to you and to God, you know, I don't know. I don't know, Jim. All of my praying I've done with the Lord has been in English.
Mm-hmm.
And But let me just say this. We are so blessed to have the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Bible talks about being filled with the Spirit. And I think one of the surest ways to find out the workings of the Holy Spirit and the extent of all the workings is to make sure that we, to the best of our ability, have turned away from sin, and there's nothing in our heart or life that would obstruct the working of the Holy Spirit. So let's each one of us, according to God's Word, let's just make sure the Holy Spirit has the most of us that He can possibly have, and let's see His power manifested in our lives.
Amen. And Alex, you brought up a great point. In America, we are so self-reliant, we are so self-dependent, that we forget sometimes that we have a merciful God who has these, who has made provisions for us, because we always want to do it ourselves. That, and we also live in a fast food generation, fast food mentality, where we want what we want and we want it now. And sometimes, you know, we're told to wait upon the Lord. And so, Jackie, that's a great question this afternoon. I would urge you to continue to study your Bible as you've been doing. I would urge you to take, and there are some study Bibles that are going to be, as Alex mentioned, they're going to have the cessationalist view, and then there are going to be others that have the continuing view. And so I would, if I were you, I would get one of each so that you can kind of compare notes. And then you can, as Alex said, get as much of the Holy Spirit, conform as much as you can to the Holy Spirit and follow His leadings. And as you do so, I think that you'll be well blessed. At the very least, you'll have a great understanding of the Word of God. And so there you go. Hey, folks, if you didn't get your question in today, be sure and email us to word@afr.net, word@afr.net. But, Alex, let's try and get in another question this afternoon, shall we?
Let's do it. We can do it.
All right. Rick from West Virginia, good afternoon, and welcome to Exploring the Word.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I really appreciate your time and for taking my call, and I'll try to make it real quick. When we are witnessing and we win someone to Christ, we all know that when someone first comes to know the Lord, they need to be discipled, they need to be in a good church. Is it our responsibility to make sure that they get in a good church, that they can be discipled, or do the discipleship ourselves? And if we don't follow through with that, will we have to give an account for not doing that and just sort of turning them out into the world to fend for themselves?
Rick, that is a great question. And my impulse answer is to say yes to all of it, but because we do want to help them become disciples. We want to find a great church for them to be discipled in. We want to help them get materials. But, Alex, I think it's almost as if we have a child that's born and we're just going to leave the child behind and not take care of it, isn't it?
That's true. You know, an obstetrician helps deliver a baby, and a pediatrician helps raise the baby. Evangelism is like obstetrics, and discipleship is like pediatrics. And so invest, and let me just encourage men, you know, disciple and work with males and females with females. But sometimes I've taken new converts to breakfast, and just over a period of time, just make sure they get started right and have their feet solidly on the Word of God as a new believer.
Amen. Good stuff. Folks, thanks for listening this afternoon. Alex, thanks for letting me hang out with you some this week.
Always a blessing.
All right. Hey, folks, real quick, I want to let you know that because we didn't take a lot of callers today, I'm going to go ahead and we're going to send you one of those Life Application Study Bibles to each one that got their question in today. Thanks for listening. Tell someone about the show, but mostly tell them about Jesus.